This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. It's Friday, so we're putting our in-studio guests on the spot, unknowing what's going to happen here. Dr. Mark Baker is here. He's Executive Director of Levy Counseling. We ask Dr. Baker back every month or so, talking about struggles we have, and he just walked in, and I said, Mark, we're going to do something on the air. You have no idea what I'm about to do. By the way, how are you?
Good. Good to see you, as always.
I'm just sitting here talking to myself, and you're right there. So I want to play an audio clip for you.
All right.
And I want you to comment on it. And I think many of us, especially as men, this is one of our speakers at the men's gathering. I was just talking about the men's gathering in the last segment. He addresses something many of us men can relate to, and I really want to hear your comments. This is a man named Dutch Bradley, who spent a good deal of time in prison. He was a drug runner. He was a mess, and this is Dutch.
There was a man who turns the corner, reaches through there with a small brown book. I call it my playbook. You may know it as a Gideon Bible. Big shout out to all the Gideons out there. What you're doing makes a difference. And as I'm sitting there, I leaf through it, really knowing I'm not going to read it, right? So I leaf through it so he doesn't ask me to read it. Well, wouldn't you know, he asks me to read it. As I'm reading through it, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I begin to huff and puff, essentially telling the pastor, it's time for you to finish your message because I'm ready to go back in this prison block. It's then he looks down at me on the floor of the prison and says 8 words. You look burdened. Can I pray for you? Now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm angry with men who I wish would love me. And here's a stranger who doesn't know me, but he cares enough to say those 8 words. And he prayed with me, and I repeated the prayer. Listen, it wasn't somebody quoting a bunch of scriptures. It was somebody caring about a young man who was angry because he wanted his father to love him. And from that floor, I prayed that prayer. I felt God replace my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36:26. And as I stood up, the other inmate that was in there with me, Andrew Kirkman. Andrew, if you're out there and you hear this, brother, thank you. Because he took me into a back cell and he began to disciple me in the Word of God. And as he discipled me, I watched God do miracles, and I watched my life change. And the greatest miracle is your life changing, not the things around you changing. And as I changed, my circumstances changed.
Now, Dr. Baker, I would imagine in all of your years of being a counselor, you have counseled many a man who has this anger, this pain, and we just want to be loved.
Right.
Talk about just whatever strikes you about what Dutch shared.
Well, several things. One, I was a Gideon for several years, and I know what that's like to hand Bibles out in prison and get that look back from these guys. That what I saw on their face is that they had too much shame to even take the Bible. I've had guys give it back to me, feeling like, your God can't love me. I had one guy say that to me once, because what I've done is so bad. And really, most men have basically two emotions that they have access to. One is anger, and the other one is lust. You know, that's just our default, you know, emotions. And it takes a lot of time and skill and nurturance and love to develop the whole range of loves and emotions in between. And the thing about anger is that kind of rage that gets a guy locked away in prison. As you know, I've spent quite a bit of time in prisons working with men just like this guy. Is that the underbelly of that rage is shame. That's really what it is. To make a man addicted to rage, to make a man become so destructive that he hurts other people, kills other people, takes from other people, that kind of rage, there's an underbelly of that. There's a thing that drives it that the man never gets to, and that's the shame that comes from never being loved, never being really loved. And I've spent a lot of time in prisons, and what I have found is in almost every case, they weren't loved by their fathers. When it comes around to Mother's Day, they all want to buy Mother's Day cards and send them out to their moms. When it comes around to Father's Day, nobody cares because there's no connection to their dad. They were not loved by the adult man in their life, if he was even in their life. And the result of that It's not just that they don't feel loved, it's that they feel ashamed of who they are. My masculine soul has a tear in it when my dad doesn't love me. And so he's absolutely right. If there's a man who could just speak that word that cuts right through that rage and that, when anger is a defense, really, when it cuts right through that and gets to his heart, in there is a vulnerable lack of love and a shame that longs to be healed. And there's only one thing that can heal it, and that's a father's love, ultimately for all of us. But God has created the world such that if we get that love from our physical fathers, it goes a long way of healing that wound, you know, that we have. And if we don't get that love, there's a tear in the masculine soul.
Now, I didn't invite you in necessarily to promote the men's gathering, but since we're talking about this, here's the follow-up to that. How much of that potential healing, if any, is men getting together with other men and sharing their story, i.e. the men's gathering or whatever it is?
Right. I think it's absolutely essential. I've spent a lot of time in men's groups and men's ministries and getting men together to tell their story. It's a great phrase, the one you just used. And in telling our story, we can go a long way to repairing that tear in the masculine soul. But we need other men to do that. We can get a lot from our wives. We can get a lot from our mothers. But there's only certain things we can get from other men. And if you didn't get it from your dad, you need to get it from other men. You can repair that tear in your soul. But that tear, I believe, only gets fully repaired in relationship with other men. Men need the community of other men in order to heal that tear, that shame, which comes from a father wound. And the guys in prison, they're riddled with the father wound, and the way they express that is with lust and anger and rage.
And I'm thinking, I would imagine this good segment of us, maybe not necessarily in prison, we try to get our wound healed with women.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the other defense. You know, we go to sexuality to, it really, it's to cover it over. It's a form of addiction, and there are men who get addicted to rage, just like men who get addicted to sex, and that addiction never heals the underlying shame, the underlying wound that needs to be addressed. And there are men who literally are addicted to rage, because it floods the body with a hormone that, affects the neuroreceptors in the brain. And that feeling is like a drug feeling. So they go back again and again and again. They need that drug that comes from rage to medicate them against their shame. It doesn't do anything for them. It doesn't meet any need. It doesn't satisfy anything, but it medicates them against their shame. Because think about it. What would you rather feel? Ashamed of yourself or rageful? You know, men would rather feel rageful than ashamed. So they turn to that drug, that addiction.
Dr. Mark Baker is here from LaVie Counseling. Since you mentioned addiction, let's talk a bit about different types of addiction in the next segment. Talk about struggles, answers, obviously. The heart of what you do is bringing people into a counseling setting to potentially point to healing. And that's why we ask you into the studio so often to talk about some of these great struggles we have. So we'll talk a bit about addictions next. And just again, speaking of men, the men's gathering, February the 20th, locally here in Pasadena. You can go to kkla.com for any information. Quick weather check is brought to you by Southern California Edison. More of the same. Cool temps, mostly cloudy skies, highs through the weekend in the 60s, overnight lows in the 40s, and more of the Frank Sontag Show. This is the Frank Sontag Show. We are grateful you've joined us, as we are grateful to have our in-studio guest. Executive Director of the LaVie Counseling Centers, Dr. Mark Baker, is here. By the way, he is licensed both as a clinical psychologist and as an MFT, marriage and family therapist. Doc, we were talking in the last segment, and you brought up near the end this idea of addiction, and you made the reference to sometimes men, we kind of get addicted to our rage, because if not, what's the alternative? Really get in touch with our pain. Talk a little bit about addiction in general, and then I have some specific follow-ups.
Yeah. I think it's an important subject for us, because it's a huge problem in our culture today. We in America now have about 40,000 deaths from accidental overdoses now a year. That's approaching car accidents in the number one cause of accidental deaths. So people dying from overdoses and poisoning themselves with drugs is a huge problem in our society today. And there are lots of reasons why we're doing that, but it's a problem. And we all know about the celebrity people who look like they've got it all together, you know, the Heath Ledger, I mean, Elvis, Whitney Houston. I mean, you cry when you hear about these people look like they've got everything going for them, and then they've got this monkey on their back that they can't seem to shed. It's a very complicated problem. And we don't completely understand it. Some people refer to it as a disease, and I think that disease model is probably the most helpful way to look at it. But no one has ever identified a biological gene or a marker, so we can't technically call it one because we haven't come up with that. Science hasn't been able to say, okay, here's the gene that gets inherited. But it acts like a disease a lot. And we think that perhaps there are certain people. We know that there are certain people who are more predisposed to become an addict than other people. We know that people who had difficult childhoods, who had emotional abuse, people who suffer traumas in their childhood, we know are many more times more likely to become an addict than people who didn't. We think that there are probably areas of their brain that got underdeveloped. They didn't get the nurturance they need, or the stress was too much, or maybe they were just born with a particularly sensitive brain, and so they needed more nurturance or couldn't stand as much stress as somebody else. And they develop deficits in those certain neuroreceptors in their brain. They then can't self-soothe. Those people don't know how to calm themselves down, and they're really predisposed to becoming addicts. People who then turn to an artificial solution for self-soothing. They turn to drugs that, you know, numbs that pain in their brain. And for true addicts, once they become addicts or they're addicted, past a certain point, they're not doing it to feel good. They're doing it to not feel bad. And that's a true addict, someone who's taken drugs to stop the noise, to stop the pain that they've not been able to heal in their life. And what we know is that the cure for that is a spiritual cure. The most powerful program we have in treating addiction is a spiritual program of recovery. So we have people who were created by God to find comfort and soothing in relationship, first with God and then with others. And if they can't get that, they turn to a false god of a drug. And then they become addicted to that false god. And the reason addiction happens is because drugs work. And not just drugs. People can be addicted to gambling, to sex, to lots of things. And they get a rush that medicates them against the pain of that abuse or stress or the whatever the pain is in their brain that they can't tolerate. And the drugs work temporarily. So they have to go back again and again and again to the altar of the medication, because we were created by God to only feel satisfied, to be comforted by relationship, first with him and then with others. And the false god of addiction is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. And it steps in a biological way to derail us and point us in the wrong direction.
Mark Baker is here from LaVie Counseling Centers. So if there's someone listening right now, you know, the secular world has their view of the answers to this, and not that the secular world is somehow exclusive from spirituality. You know,
right.
There's a loose spirituality, if you will.
Right.
But for someone listening right now that can relate to this topic, in fact, I got an email from a listener not too long ago. Obviously, I won't name names, but he lost his father in a plane crash 10 years ago. And he said he has tried and tried and tried to beat his addictions.
Right.
And he is really struggling and reached out to me.
Great.
At LaVie, talk about some of the ways in which you would address these things.
Well, we address it by coming alongside the trauma, the person who's been traumatized, to help them deal with trauma in a way that restores their ability to find soothing from relationships. When people are truly traumatized, it's not just the event itself, but it's the lack of comfort after the event happened. The true definition of trauma is not just psychological injury. Psychological injury is when something overwhelming happens to you and you can't cope with it. But trauma is when something overwhelming happens to you and there isn't anybody there to help you in the way that you need it. You weren't able to get it from God in the way you needed it. You weren't able to get it from your community in the way that you needed it. So then you suffered alone. And when you suffer alone, that results in trauma. We are not designed to suffer alone. But sometimes events are so overwhelming we don't want to talk about it. We think we can't talk about it with someone else. We think they won't understand. You won't get it. You didn't lose your dad like I did. So then we don't open up, and then we end up traumatized. So we come alongside people and help redo that to give them an opportunity to turn. Sometimes it's first to us, where we're stand in for God. Sometimes we are we put the feet on others' prayers by being a stand in for God, for people to restore their faith in reaching out, and eventually, you know, return them to the ability to reach out to God. Sometimes we have to do that. We have to help other people realize He's still there, but they've lost the capacity or the will to reach out to Him. And there are recovery programs that are specifically Christian. You know, you mentioned that the secular world is not devoid of spirituality. It's not. AA is a spiritual program. It's not a Christian program, but it's a spiritual program that was designed by a pastor and a physician, but they made it general. They call God a higher power because they want to invite all people in. But there are programs like Celebrate Recovery that started at Saddleback that are specifically Christian. And they name the higher powers Jesus Christ. I mean, they follow biblical principles, and it's a very powerful program. They started it 25 years ago. They are in 20,000 churches all over, bringing people mainly from outside the church into their program. They find 70% of the people who come into their program come from outside the church, but 85% of the people who go through their program remain in the church. That's their way into a relationship with Jesus Christ, is to come through a general program of recovery that welcomes all who are suffering from this.
Mark, one more question. In the Bible, the story of Jesus and the paralytic at Bethesda, there's kind of an inclination at the beginning of that, like, do you really want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
Did he really want to be healed, even though, you know, it was decades that mm-hmm. he just was paralyzed? For those that specifically, as we talk about addiction or struggling with addiction, how important is the reality, or is it even in the realm of discussion, if someone really recognizes, okay, I want to get help, versus a feeling of or a sense of just being, you know, this is way bigger than I can do. Does that make sense?
It does.
In other words, how much of intention, wanting to get better, is even part of the healing process?
It's absolutely critical for all people in every area of their life. But when it comes to addiction, it's even more so, because the term addict is something that has to be self-diagnosed. I cannot tell someone they're an addict. They have to tell themselves that they're an addict. So they have to, at some point, come to the realization, I am not handling this. This is bigger than me, and I need help. That's where AA has kind of got it down generally. You know, you're not God, and you got to realize there is a God. He's bigger than you, and you got to turn to Him for help. You're not handling this. But it's not a matter of willpower. That's not where healing comes from, that you're going to white knuckle it and you're going to will yourself into getting better. No, it's actually the opposite. It has to do with surrender and vulnerability. You got to come to that place where you say, I give up trying to run my own life. I am now surrendering to God, and I'm surrendering really to others to help me because I can't help myself. And that's when we say, I need help. That's where you're really admitting it to yourself and to others. I need help is when you're willing to be vulnerable and surrender.
Dr. Mark Baker is here from LaVie Counseling. Their website is laviecounseling.org. LaVie is L-A-V-I-E, laviecounseling.org. Doc, I'm wondering if I can put you on the spot here and ask that you stay till our next segment. And this is kind of where I would like, first of all, can you stay?
Sure, I can, yeah.
Where I would really like to get into is the idea of the overwhelming majority of people listening right now, we say we're Christians.
Right.
We know in the Bible there's things like we shouldn't have fear, shouldn't stress about certain things, and so there's this kind of, well, we should put on that happy face. We're to call it all joy. What I would like to ask you as we continue, how many of us of the Christian faith recognize we've got these struggles, and yet we feel the sense of, I can't reach out to a counselor because it's in Scripture, and I'll go to church on Sunday and just keep praying about this.
Right, right.
And I imagine there's a lot to that we can unpack.
Absolutely. Love to talk about that.
I appreciate you sticking around. We'll do that with Dr. Mark Baker from Levite Counseling as we continue on our Impact segment next. This is the Frank Sontag Show.